This is Bruce Collinger, host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. We trust the program will encourage and bless you and maybe even challenge you. And again, if you'd like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. The website has my email address on it if you'd like to contact me in that way. And this program can be re-listened to on the website. There is also other information that I think you would find helpful, including a weekly meditation. So you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now, again, we're looking at an overview of the books of the Bible, and we've come to the book of the Psalms, 150 chapters. And it's interesting that as we look at the Psalms, we're looking at the way in which the songs were sung in temple worship. And so this was the temple worship songbook. It has all of the human emotions in it. There are some people who think that if they in fact had only one book in the Bible to take with them and to keep, they would take the book of Psalms. That would not be the case with me. I found out over the years that many of the things that I thought were promises to me in the book of the Psalms were promises specifically to Israel and in some cases to David. And while there might be an application made to me, they really weren't written to me, even though they were written for me. And that, so when we look at the book of the Psalms, that's the question we really have to ask ourselves. We have to ask ourselves, does the Psalm apply to the author? Does it apply to the nation of Israel? Is it prophetic with regard to the Lord, or does it apply to us personally? And when we look at the Psalms, while we are looking at temple worship had some distinctions from the worship of the Lord in the church, and so these Psalms were really not written to the church, the New Testament believer. They were written for the church. So I believe sometimes we take courage and promises from the Psalms that perhaps we take out of context, and yet the Lord can use that to encourage us. But nevertheless, I personally would take the book of John or the book of Ephesians if I only had one book that I could carry with me, because those in my mind have been the greatest help to me and have promises that are specifically for me, and that are particularly Ephesians explains the gospel so that I can understand it. So I thought that's what I would take, but the Psalms are wonderful. And when we look at the book of the Psalms, I'm sure that there are three psalms that everyone here knows. You probably know Psalm 23. If you've gone to a funeral, usually you hear the 14th chapter of John read. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, and so forth. But you also hear Psalm 23 read, and it's the Psalm of the Shepherd. It starts out, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And the word "want" in the Old King James means lack. I used to think that the psalmist was saying the Lord was the shepherd, he wouldn't want. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying the Lord is his shepherd, and because of that, he will not lack. And so we know the Lord is the shepherd of the sheep. He's the good shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. And then, and so as we look at the 23rd Psalm, most of us would like to identify with it in the sense that we see ourselves as sheep and we see the Lord as taking care of us. And so we would all take courage in what is said by David at the end of the psalm when he says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And so this is a psalm that most of us know. We know the verse that says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Now, again, as I look at that psalm, the way I always looked at it before was with a personal application to death. I believe as I look at the psalm now, it's the experience of David as he returns from the Valley of Elah after he has slain the giant Goliath. You'll remember that he left his sheep with a keeper and he was a shepherd and all he had was that sling and five smooth stones, and he went out and met an enemy that speaks to us of the flesh, and he slew the enemy in the enemy's only weak spot, in a place in his forehead where his shield did not cover him or his helmet did not cover him. And David was able to do what the nation of Israel could not do, what Saul the king could not do, because he trusted in the Lord. And so I really look at the Psalm 23 as the psalm of victory as the Lord returns from the Valley of Elah, where he has gone down into that valley and met Goliath and has slain him. And that's why I think he says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." But there is a trilogy of psalms here that perhaps we should be reminded of. I'm not going to be able to cover everything I would like to with regard to the psalms, but I want to whet your appetite to read them and to enjoy them. And if they speak to you in a different way than they speak to me, that's fine. They will encourage you, and in some cases, they will perhaps challenge you. But Psalm 22 is a well-known psalm. It's a messianic psalm. That is, it's prophetic with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it starts out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And of course, the Lord quotes that psalm when he's on the cross after the three dark hours. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that's something we need to meditate on. It's something we need to think about. Why would God forsake his only begotten, his unique, his beloved Son? Well, we know he did that because he cares for us, and this was the only way he could be just and still be the justifier of those who believe in Jesus. Sin had to be punished. It had to be judged, and the wages of sin is death, and Christ was willing to suffer the death that we should have suffered, the separation from God that we should have suffered. He suffered it. And so when that question is asked, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We know that he was forsaken so that we might not have to be forsaken. And yet, if we reject him, we will be forsaken. And the Bible is clear on that. So we don't want to reject the love of the Lord as emphasized by this 22nd Psalm. In the 22nd Psalm, we see how the Lord was going to die prophetically. It says, they pierced my hands and my feet. It talks about the oxen and the dogs surrounded him. Strong bulls of Bashan encompassed him. And so we read about the bullying. We read about the piercing of his hands and his feet. Now, as far as we know, David's hands and feet were never pierced. And so this speaks specifically of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's about 1,000 years before it happens. And yet we see how that the Lord is directing our attention, or God himself is directing our attention to the sacrifice of the Lord at the cross. So in Psalm 22, we see the sacrifice, and in Psalm 23, we see the shepherd. Then we come to Psalm 24, and we see Christ as sovereign, and we are reminded that just because the Lord died at the cross, that was not the end of the story. He was not defeated at the cross. Satan was defeated at the cross. And so in Psalm 24, we read these words, "Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory." Selah. And the word Lord has to do with Jehovah. And we find out that the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the new. And though he was humbled and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, there's a day coming when he is going to establish his rightful reign on this earth, and his enemies are going to be judged. When we look at the Psalms, they're often called the Psalms of David, but only half, about 73, are distinctly attributed to David. 12 are attributed to Asaph, 10 to the sons of Korah, 2 to Solomon, 1 each to Moses, Ethan, Heman, and Ezra. 49, or nearly one-third of the Psalms, are anonymous. So these psalms teach us timeless lessons. As we've already said, some are messianic prophecies, some apply only to the nation of Israel, some are historical, some are practical, some are penitential, particularly where David has sinned against the Lord by taking Bathsheba as his wife and making sure her husband was killed in war. As he repents of that and as he confesses that sin, there are some penitential psalms that are encouraging to those who perhaps have stumbled along the way and need to know that the Lord will forgive and that the Lord does forgive. So some are penitential. And of course, when we look at the messianic ones, those are definitely prophetic. And some of them are prophetic with regard to the nation of Israel as well. The psalm then might apply to the author, to the nation, or to the Lord, or to us personally. These psalms are not written specifically to the church, but as I've mentioned, they're written for the church. Now, the 116th psalm is perhaps one of my favorites. It starts out, I love the Lord, because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. And though this psalm may have been written at a time when the psalmist was recovering maybe from an illness, yet the illness that I could see in the psalm was sin sickness. I wanted to be saved, and I called upon the Lord to save me, and it seemed like he did not do that right away. I know some people say, well, they just pray to the Lord and they're saved. Well, I asked the Lord to save me, and I did not get the comfort, the assurance that I was saved until I got to the bottom, to the end of myself, and realized that I was waiting for God to save me when Christ had already died to do that. And when I realized that, I rested there, and I've rested on the Word of God. The tract I was reading says, God says I am saved. It must be true. And I rested there, and I know that Christ has died for me because of that. But as I look at the 116th Psalm, it says, I was brought low and he helped me. And in that psalm it says, the sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. I identified with that in a spiritual way. Like I said, it may not be written to the church, but it was written for the church. And as a believer, I could look at David's experience and identify with it. And I hope you'll go back and read that 116th psalm. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. Now, our Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our lesson today and to bless all who have listened. We thank you for salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray in his name, amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.